Hey everyone, husband here.
And I'm wife. If you've been listening to us, then you know we're all about reading the Bible and reacting to it on our first read-through. Cuss words, crying, laughing, and more.
We're passionate about creating a podcast that takes the sanctity out of the sacred text and simply stating it as we see it.
But we can't do it without your help. We're asking for your support to help us keep this podcast going.
There are two ways you can donate.
Text SACDIS, that's SACDIS, to 533-555 if you're in the U.S. with a one-time donation. Any amount helps.
Or if you'd rather start a sustaining membership, sign up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Membership levels start as low as $2 a month.
We are amazed and grateful for our fans that support us now, and you can become one too.
With your support, we can keep Sacrilegious Discourse alive and well for years to come.
So please donate today.
Text SACDIS to 533-555 if you're in the U.S.
Or sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
And I'm wife.
Together we're reading the Bible for the very first time.
We grew up without religion and wanted to know what all the fuss was about.
Well, what have we learned so far?
That God is a dick. And apparently some people believe in talking donkeys?
We're not trying to pass ourselves off as experts.
Nope, we're just reading the Bible for the first time and giving our first take reaction.
If you'd like to join us in this venture, you might consider starting at episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in wherever you like.
Alright, let's go read the Bible.
Yeah, let's get to it. Husband!
Wife!
We're almost done with Jeremiah.
We are.
We're gonna wrap it up today.
We are.
I'm so excited.
I am.
So, any other words?
No. So, I'm assuming this is gonna be, are we going over...
The book as a whole.
The book as a whole. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
And guess what else?
What else?
I have a very short pop quiz.
A pop quiz, huh? Very short?
Very short.
Okay, because I know how these things tend to go.
17 questions. I already even took it myself.
Okay. All right.
And right. we'll see half of them right.
17 sounds... Okay. All right.
It's good. It's a good quiz.
All right. Sounds good. Okay. You ready to do this?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okie dokie.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
All right, so here we are talking about the book of Jeremiah, now that we've read the whole thing.
Right, yes.
We read the whole thing.
We did. We've read the whole
52 fucking verses.
Yeah.
All right, so this book... Wait,
no, not verses.
Yeah.
Chapters.
Chapters. You're right. A verse goes in a chapter.
They do.
And a chapter goes in a book.
Yes.
And then the book goes in the bigger book.
That's right. And then the green grass grows all around and around.
And the green grass grows all around.
Right. Now you got it.
Okay. This book, Jeremiah.
Yeah.
It's intended to be a message to the Jews in exile in Babylon.
Okay.
Explaining the disaster of exile as God's response to Israel's pagan worship.
Yeah. Those fuckers and their idols. I swear, man.
They never get rid of
those
Asherah poles.
They never learn, man.
I need an Asherah pole. I got to tell you. I really need one. The book as a whole has been heavily edited and added to by the prophet's followers, including, who do you think?
Baruch?
Baruch is on fire.
You've been waiting for that again. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
His companion and scribe, yes.
Right, yeah.
And later generations of Deuteronomists.
No shit.
Yeah. But it's nice that scholars are like, yeah, that happened.
Right.
And we're like, oh, okay, good.
But like when you go to find the exact information in the chapter, they're like, but this all happened with Jeremiah and you can all just fuck off. Jeremiah did all this shit. And it's like, no. I can tell what Jeremiah wrote, and it was not this bullshit at the end.
Right, exactly.
So, whatever, I'm done. That's all. Go ahead.
So, yeah, we were smart. We did good. We knew the things.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
There are two distinct, though related, versions of the book of Jeremiah. One is in Hebrew, and that's the Masoretic text.
Okay.
And we call that the MT for short.
Okay.
And the other one is the Septuagint, which, is, of course, is the Greek translation.
Right, right. Okay? Yeah.
The separate dates of the two, the Greek and the Hebrew, can be suggested by the fact that the Greek one shows concerns typical of the early Persian period, while the Hebrew one shows perspectives which, although known in the Persian period, did not reach their full realization until the 2nd century BCE.
Hmm.
So the Greek one actually predates the Hebrew one.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which...
Well, and we kind of talked about that in a previous thing as far as when those things were written, went into some of that stuff.
Yeah, we talked about the parts of the Bible as a whole and how Christians picked up one after the Jews were like, we don't want this one anymore.
Right.
And then the Jews were like, just kidding, give it back. And the Christians were like, no thanks.
Was that a Patreon episode that we did? I can't remember if we did that regular
I can't recall. It was some kind of...
We do too much shit sometimes.
We do. We do. I can't
keep track of it all.
It was an informational one. So it was either a Q&A
or a Patreon
or something to that effect.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay. But it was an informational one.
Sure.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the book structure and authorship.
Okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So the first half of the book, as we know, is the earliest and the main core of Jeremiah's message. Okay?
Okay.
So that's like the first 25 chapters that are thereabouts.
Yeah.
Okay? It is widely accepted that they represent the teachings of Jeremiah and are the earliest stage of the book. So if Jeremiah wrote any of it, those are the ones that he wrote.
Right. And that makes sense
that tracks.
To me. Because like even just structure wise, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't hear anything about Baruch till about midway through the book.
And that's when Baruch picked up the pen.
Right. And then Baruch picked up the pen. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, obviously, that stuff's all fucked up.
That stuff is all Deuteronomist.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So the next quarter of the book. So we've got the big first half, the half of it. Okay. And then the second half, we cut that into two chunks.
Got it.
Okay. So the next quarter of the book contains biographic material and interactions with other prophets. Jeremiah's interactions with Zedekiah and the fall of Jerusalem.
Right.
Okay. So that's all in that middle section.
Right.
Okay. Now, the final quarter of the book contains oracles concerning divine punishment to the nations surrounding Israel, also referred to as OAN, Oracles Against the Nations, as well as a brief appendix that actually retells 2 Kings.
That was 52, chapter 52,
yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. It summed up 2 Kings. So actually, if you like want to skip the entirety of 2 Kings, you can just read chapter 52 of Jeremiah and you've got a good understanding of what happened.
Got it. Yeah.
So non-biographical prose passages such as the temple sermon in chapter 7 and the covenant passage in chapter 11 are scattered throughout the book.
Got it.
So non-biography stuff, just like reporting on history stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. And these entries show clear affinities with the Deuteronomists, which was the school of writers and editors who shaped the series of history books from Judges to Kings.
Okay.
So anytime you think that Jeremiah lost the thread, he did, because it wasn't him writing it. It was the Deuteronomist adding shit.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense.
So anytime it's like, this doesn't sound like it's part of the story, or this reads a little different.
Yeah.
That's because it does.
Okay.
Okay.
That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I appreciate that.
And that final bit is all totally unlikely to have come directly from Jeremiah.
which is no shit.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So the book of Jeremiah grew over a long period of time.
Also, okay? No shit.
Yeah.
Right.
But I mean, it's not like he just sat down one day and like said, I'm going to write a book and I'm going to take a couple weeks to put it all together and then call it done.
Right.
Like, he wrote this book or the parts of it that he contributed to over the course of several decades.
Okay.
That's right. What I'm trying to say.
Okay, I see, I see.
Okay?
Yep.
The Greek version, looking forward to the fall of Babylon and aligning in places with 2nd Isaiah, had already seen major redaction and may have been completed by the late exilic period, which was the last half of the 6th century BCE.
That makes a lot of sense,
and
too.
And you had commented on that as well.
Yeah.
The initial stages of the Hebrew version may have been written not long afterwards, although parts of chapter 33 point to a setting during post-exilic times.
Okay.
So basically, it all was written like during the middle of it, all the way through to like the end and thereafter.
Right.
Of the exile.
That's exactly kind of what we came up with as we were reading through it. So, I appreciate this information because it just confirms a lot of my thoughts as we were going through this. And it makes me feel less crazy as to what we read.
Well, and also it's like the historians are coming out and they're like, good job, you caught that. Like, it's good validation that like, okay, we're not dumb. We're getting what's being put down.
Yeah.
Awesome. You know?
Yeah.
Because we're not scholars or academics, as I'm fond of pointing out. So anytime I figure something out and then I have somebody smart come along after me and be like, yeah, that is the way it was. Good call.
Right. Feels good.
It does.
It does.
It's like a nice pat on the back.
But, you know, I feel like based on, because we've done a lot of research on our way through the Bible, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've picked up a lot of knowledge about how things were written, how they didn't always coincide with the exact thought. Like the authors change, right?
Yes.
They don't always have the same author in the books and what have you. And a lot of this information, now that we have that base of knowledge from earlier books that we've read, it's easier to translate when we're reading these books, we're reading Jeremiah specifically, it's easier to say, wait a second, is this one of those things that happened prior that we learned about? You know, is this one of those things that's weird and what's going
on? Now that we know that that's a possibility, we can be on the lookout for it.
Right. And that's very helpful. So, I mean, I think part of this is not so much that we are awesome, but that we have built a base of knowledge that we are now leaning into a little bit. So
it's like when you learn basic math so that you can then move on to algebra. So we are in algebra one now. Right. Awesome. So the Deuteronomists, of course, just as a reminder, were a school or movement who edited the books of Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings into a more or less unified, I would say less unified, history of Israel, the so-called Deuteronomistic history, during the Jewish exile in Babylon, 6th century BCE.
Yeah.
That's when the Deuteronomists were doing their thing.
But apparently they dabbled in other shit instead of just those.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's talk about the history of that time period. This putting this list together really helped me understand what was happening when.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Jeremiah began his prophetic mission in the 13th year of King Josiah, about 627 BCE. Now, we'll get back to that because it may have started earlier than that, but that's like the quote-unquote official date.
It started when he was in the womb, if you remember correctly, from like the first chapter.
Right, but we're not talking about that. And it continued after the 11th year of King Zedekiah, 586 BCE, when Jerusalem went into exile.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
So during that whole period, that's what I'm about to cover.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So in 621, and all of these are BCE, I'm going to drop that so that I don't keep repeating myself.
Right.
So in 621, Josiah instituted far-reaching religious reforms. He's the one that, I think it was Hezekiah maybe, found a book in the library and was like, King, look what I found. It's the early books of the Torah, and we have to do this right now. And Josiah was like, oh, shit.
Right.
And so he was like, yeah, let's get on the right track with God now.
Yeah.
So he made all these reforms. He got rid of all the idols and everything.
Okay.
So that started in 621.
Okay.
Okay. Now, the Assyrian Empire, which had been dominant for two centuries, declined and fell, destroyed by Babylon.
Oh,
okay. So that was right around that same time period.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Its capital, Nineveh, was captured in 612 by the Babylonians and the Medes.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Puts a little bit more into perspective. Like, we forget about, like, all these other nations out there and what's happening with them when we're talking about the kings of Judah.
But I would imagine at this time, like in 612, right, like people in Jerusalem and other places in this region are starting to go, oh, shit.
Yes, they were. Absolutely. Yeah. And they saw a lot of the writing on the wall, which...
Meaning that they might have been able to prophesize?
Yes.
That kind of thing? Okay.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Correct.
Okay, all right.
It's just, it's interesting because I forget that other shit was happening in the world at the same time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it changes how I perceive what's happening to these little people.
Right. And that's, I told you before, like, this is the part that I love.
I know. I know. And that's part. That's why I put this together.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that.
So some scholars doubt that Jeremiah's career actually began as early as 627/626. And suggest instead that Jeremiah began to prophesy toward the end of the reign of Josiah, the good king.
Okay.
Or at the beginning of the reign of Joachim in 609.
Okay.
Okay. Right.
Yep.
So they're like, I don't know about all that. Maybe he didn't start till Nineveh fell.
Got it.
Then he was like,
right.
Babylon is about to get it on and I need to be on the right side of this.
Sure.
Which that tracks.
Right. But it's funny that a lot of people think he didn't start until that happened because, like, it works better for the story of him being a prophet if he started back in 627, 626, right?
Sure.
Because that's prior to Babylon taking over Assyria.
Yes.
Right? So if he was prophesizing way back then way back
then. He was a prophet.
Right, yeah. He knew all this shit was coming. But if he started prophesizing when Assyria fell, then fuck you. He fucking knew. He knew this shit was coming. You could see the writing on the wall.
He was a politician and he was a statesman who knew what the fuck was coming.
Right.
And he wanted to be on the best side of it. And that's not to say that he didn't also want his people on the best side of it.
Sure.
I mean, that may have been his intent. I don't know.
We can't go back in time and assess his fucking, what he actually was thinking. So,
but I can tell you for a fact, though, dude knew what was coming, and it wasn't because he was talking to God.
Right. No, I would imagine he wasn't the only one that knew what was coming.
Sure. So, sure. That's how he was able to have kings, so much support.
Right. And that's why kings were having discussions with their neighbors about what to fucking do.
Right. Exactly. So. It's like they all see this. The lava is slowly rolling toward them and they're all like scrambling around trying to, should we build walls? Should we move? Should we team up? Like, what the fuck do we do?
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, you've got the rest of the town that's right in the middle of where the lava's rolling going, it'll be fine. This is fine. So, okay, right after that, Babylon defeated Egypt and the remnant of the Assyrians at the Battle of Carchemish and made Judah a Babylonian vassal in 605.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, shit is starting to come downhill.
Right. Because prior to this, Egypt was kind of the superpower that had influence over Judah and Israel and what have you. Well, at least Judah.
They were frenemy.
Right.
They
left him alone mostly.
They kind of ruled Judah, but Judah was like, fuck off. And Egypt was like, for now.
Right. Yeah.
Till we need
your land or something. Yeah.
Right. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 605, that was done. Babylon took over and was like, we'll take you now. Thanks.
Sure. Yoink.
Okay. Realizing that this battle made a great difference in the world situation, Jeremiah dictated to his scribe Baruch a scroll containing all of the messages he had delivered up to this time, which was read by Baruch in the temple.
Yeah.
And so,
because Jeremiah was in jail.
Yes.
So
he was in jail.
He was either in jail or he was like hiding from whatever. Something was happening.
Probably because he had been talking smack about you guys.
Right.
Babylon is coming, you guys. You guys, Babylon's coming.
And they didn't like that.
They did not like that.
He was also pushing for them to give up.
Yes.
So let's just be clear.
Yeah.
No one wants to give up.
No. And
he was pushing the wrong message at the time politically.
I mean, he may have been pushing the right message. Who fucking knows?
But for the
people, the king, the people, they were like, nah, man.
He didn't read the temperature in the room.
Well, he knew what was cooking on the stove and he was not explaining it well enough.
Right.
And he tried to use like God as his tactic and it didn't work.
Or he was truly a double agent pushing the Babylonian agenda.
That's so, more likely.
Right.
So Joachim withheld tribute from the Babylonians in about 601 BCE. Okay.
Okay.
So remember, Joachim was only there shortly.
Yeah.
Okay. And so he withheld tribute. Okay. And he was like, fuck you, Babylon.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a smart move.
It was not. King Joachim died and was succeeded by his son, Joachin.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay.
Judah's revolt was subjugated by Babylon in 597.
Okay. Yeah.
So Babylon was like, that's not going to fly. We will have your tribute. Thank you.
Right.
The king was taken to Babylonia with many of his subjects. And that was the first time that Babylon came in and scooped out some of the folks.
Sure.
Okay.
Yep.
And then Zedekiah was placed on Judah's throne.
Got it.
Okay. So that was when the puppet king came in. We've talked about how it's not really fair to judge him as weak and wishy-washy when he was Babylon's placement.
It's a tough place to be in.
So. Right. So Zedekiah, the puppet king of Babylon, made an alliance with Egypt as Judah revolted again. So he was trying.
Right.
But it didn't go well. I imagine
he wasn't real popular amongst the, you know, amongst
He was not popular with anybody.
Right, right.
And it wasn't fair. I really, you know, I'm sorry, but my heart goes out to him.
Yeah.
It does. I can't help it.
Yeah.
Babylon destroyed Jerusalem and its temple and exiled its king and many of the leading citizens in 586.
Right.
Ending Judah's existence as an independent kingdom and bringing about the Babylonian exile.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
And then Jeremiah died around 570.
We think.
Likely stoned to death by his exacerbated fellow countrymen in Egypt.
Who thought he was a fucking traitor.
Yes, probably because he was. Yes.
I mean, okay, look, I'm not getting excited about Jeremiah's death, but it just solidified all the ideas that I had. Mm-hmm. And I was, aside from the fact that somebody died, it made me very happy.
Yes.
You know, like this is the thing.
Yeah.
This is the thing that I've been saying all along.
Totally. Yep. Okay. So the book's superscription claims that Jeremiah had been active for 40 years. Right?
Mm-hmm.
From the 13th year of Josiah in 627 to the fall of Jerusalem in 587.
Okay.
And that is 40 years.
Sure.
But it's clear from the last chapters of the book that he continued to speak in Egypt after the assassination of Gedaliah, the dude that had been put in charge of him.
Yeah.
The Babylonian appointed governor of Judah in 582. Okay.
Okay.
So what the fuck?
Yeah.
This suggests that the superscription is trying to make a theological point about Jeremiah by comparing him to Moses, whereas Moses spent 40 years leading Israel from slavery in Egypt to the promised land. Jeremiah's 40 years saw Israel exiled from the promised land. And Jeremiah himself ultimately in exile in Egypt.
Got it.
Which,
and the Bible loves these numbers and these you know, perfect symmetrical.
What's funny to me is you didn't need the 40 years to make that argument, though. Like, to me, it is poetic enough to just say, imagine Moses spent all those years trying to get in.
Yeah.
And then the very last prophet, you know, Judah fell and he saw the entire end.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Right there, almost the same place.
Yeah.
Where they had entered.
I think honestly, the whole Bible ascribes too much importance to the prophet Jeremiah.
Yeah.
I mean, he is very prominent in the New Testament, from what I understand.
He is.
And I think that there's just been a lot more emphasis on this character than is maybe due. So.
I think that if you took the New Testament completely out of the picture, as in remove Christians from the movie.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that Jeremiah would not be any more special than anybody else.
Right. And I think maybe he has a name mostly because he was there at a very traumatic point in Israel's in Jewish history. You know, this is a very big deal. The Babylonian exile is we've heard about the Babylonian exile for multiple books over this time period.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal.
Yep.
So yep. That makes sense as to why he's a big name.
Sure.
But that's it.
Yeah.
I don't think he has much to offer.
I don't think he's magical. So, I could tell you that much. So now we're moving on to our little pop quiz.
Okay.
So we're done with Jeremiah, except for contradictions.
That'll be coming up soon. Not today. Mm-hmm. Not in this episode. Next episode.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So are you ready for this?
Sure. Let's do it.
Number one, what did the Lord say has kept good from his people according to Jeremiah chapter 5? And I'll read you a multiple choice.
Okay, all right, yeah.
Their enemies, their kings, their sins, or their princes?
I'm going to go with their sins.
Okay.
That sounds correct for a God comment.
I don't know. I'll tell you when we're done.
Okay, all right.
In the book of Jeremiah, what was the land called three times to do? Bring forth, open up, hear the word of the Lord, or turn to the river?
Say those again, the answers.
Bring forth. Yeah. Open up, hear the word of the Lord, or turn to the river.
I'm going to go with hear the word of the Lord.
That sounds right.
I don't know. Right, yeah.
Okay, this one's easy. Who was Jeremiah's scribe?
Baruch.
Yes. Okay. In the book of Jeremiah, what did the Lord compare his people who are accustomed to do evil to? Self-willed person, I accidentally shut the page, but there it is. Sorry, nothing. So what did he compare his bad people to?
Okay.
A self-willed person, an Ethiopian and a leopard, a stupid being, or an innocent child?
An innocent child.
Sure. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know either.
How did the Lord describe the cisterns the Israelites hewed out for themselves in Jeremiah chapter 2? Strong, rubbish, broken, or dirty?
Dirty. None of these ring a bell. This is not making any relevant sense to me.
Okay, this one might be good.
Okay, yeah.
Which king burned the scroll containing Jeremiah's prophecy against Judah?
It wasn't Zedekiah. Oh, so then it was...
It was the one before him.
Joachim.
The other choices are Manasseh, Jeroboam, or Saul.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you know.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Number seven. What did the Lord liken his word to in Jeremiah chapter 23? Rain and snow, fire and hammer, stripes and manna, or mighty fortress?
Fire and whatever.
Hammer?
Yeah, sure.
That's what I would have said. I don't know if that's right or not.
Yeah.
Who was Jeremiah? A judge, a king, a prophet, or an apostle?
Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm not.
A prophet.
A prophet. That has got to be right.
I mean, yeah.
What did the people plan on threatening Jeremiah with? A stick, their words. A whip, their hands.
A whip.
Who was the father of Jeremiah the prophet? Amaz, Baruch, Amon, or Hilkiah?
Amon.
Mm-mm.
Hilkiah.
But I have to put Amon because...
Yeah, I said
because
it.
Because you...
Yeah.
Amon has to do with the Ammonites.
See, now you're giving me answers in the middle of this, though.
When I know it, I'll give you the answer.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, number 11. Why did the Lord ask his people to seek the welfare of the land where he sent them into exile? To be able to fight them, for in it they will have welfare also, to be able to sacrifice to God, or to seek God's favor?
To seek God's favor.
I don't think that's right.
No?
I don't.
Okay.
Why did the Lord promise to save Abed-Melech? Do you remember who Abed-Melech was?
I remember the name, but I can't off the top of my head remember exactly.
He's the Ethiopian Jeremiah out of the pit.
Right. Okay.
Okay, so why did the Lord promise to save him? Because he was holy, God needs him, he trusted in the Lord, or he was helpless?
He trusted in the Lord.
I think that's right.
Right.
Okay, ready? How many chapters are there in the 52. Book of Jeremiah? There are 52. I know that one.
Mm, yeah.
What did Jeremiah the prophet set before the Rechabites? Pitchers full of
alcohol.
Wine and cups.
Yeah, that one.
Bread and wine, parched corns, or burnt sacred?
The first one, wine and cups.
Wine and cups?
Yeah.
Not bread and wine?
No.
Okay. How many men went with Abed-Melech to take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the cistern?
3 or 30.
And you have both of those choices. What are you going to go with?
In the NIV, I think it was 30.
Yeah.
So we'll go with 30.
That's what I would go with. According to Jeremiah chapter 4, what did the Lord ask the men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem to remove? Foreskin of their hearts, wall of their defense, sacrifices, or their kings?
Their kings.
Really? I thought it was the foreskin of their hearts.
I'm going to go with the kings still.
Okay.
I'm probably wrong.
I'm pretty sure you're wrong.
But, you know.
Which king burned Jeremiah's scroll?
Didn't we just cover this one?
We did.
It was Joachim.
Yes. So, really, there were only 16 questions. Okay, here we go. Ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So, what did the Lord say has kept good from his people according to Jeremiah 5? Their sins.
Did I get it right or wrong?
Yeah, you got it right.
Okay.
Okay? I'll tell you if you got it wrong.
No, all right. Okay? Yeah.
In the book of Jeremiah, what was the land called three times to do? Hear the word of the Lord.
You got it
right.
Yeah, all right.
Who is Jeremiah's scribe?
Baruch.
Yeah. You got that one right. Okay, this one you got wrong. In the book of Jeremiah, what did the Lord compare his people who are accustomed to do evil to? Mm-hmm. You chose innocent child. The correct answer was an Ethiopian and leopard.
I don't even recall that being a thing.
The verse is, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then also you can do good who are accustomed to do evil.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. You got this one wrong as well.
Okay.
How did the Lord describe the cisterns the Israelites hewed out for themselves?
Not dirty, apparently.
Right. You chose dirty, but it was broken.
Broken.
Okay?
Got it.
And here's what the verse says. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water.
Got it.
Yeah, I got that one right, FYI.
Mm, good job.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which king burned the scroll containing Jeremiah's prophecy against Judah? Joachim.
I think technically I got that wrong because I said the wrong king first. I said Zedekiah.
You so did, you but
gave,
that
you
wasn't...
Were, you were very nice and gave that to
because
me.
Because it wasn't a choice.
Zedekiah. Oh, it wasn't even... Oh.
Yeah, I told you that the other ones were... It was Joachim, Manasseh, Jeroboam, or Saul.
I got it.
Yeah.
They made some really... Like, they dumb. Made that one easy. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay.
What did the Lord liken his word to in Jeremiah chapter 23? Fire and hammer, baby. You
I
got
was
it right.
Awesome. Yep.
Yeah, I got that one too. Who was Jeremiah? He was a fucking prophet.
Right? Like, that's the dumbest question in there.
I know.
One
and,
of them.
And then we get this, and it's like, what? Okay, number 9. What did the people plan on threatening Jeremiah with? You got it wrong. It
what?
Wasn't a whip, it was their hands.
Wait.
I'm sorry, their words.
I swear they threatened him with a whip at one point.
Well, here is the...
Actually, he did get whipped at one point.
But here's the verse where they threaten him.
Okay, all right.
Then they said, come, let us make plots against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, let us strike him with the tongue, and let us not pay attention to any of his words.
Got it.
Boring.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Who was the father of Jeremiah the prophet? You got that one wrong.
Yeah.
You chose Amon, which was just so silly.
Was it?
Yeah. It was Hilkiah. I knew that
why
one.
Why am I supposed to remember? Like, Jeremiah's
because
dad is
Amon,
like the least of my concerns.
Because Amon has to do with the Ammonites.
Right, but I don't give a fuck about Jeremiah's dad.
Okay, but...
I'm just saying.
Whatever. Whatever you say.
Yeah.
Number 11, you got wrong as well.
Okay.
Why did the Lord ask his people to seek the welfare of the land where he sent them into exile?
What did I say?
You said to seek God's favor, but no, it was for in it they will have welfare also.
Okay.
Yep. All right. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare.
Mm.
That was the settle in. You're going to be there for a while.
Right.
Make the best of it.
Yep.
Okay, number 12. You got this one right.
Okay.
Why did the Lord promise to save Abed-Melech? Because he trusted in the Lord.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
You got this one right, too. How many chapters are there in the book of Jeremiah?
I mean, that was an easy one.
52. We didn't even
Unless,
need the multiple
course,
choice.
They asked us when we were on chapter 50, because then I think you thought there was only 51.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. But we got it right, though.
Yeah.
Okay, number 14. You got this one right. What did Jeremiah the prophet set before the Reshabites? Pitchers full of wine and cups.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Number 15, you got this one right. How many men went with Abed-Melech to take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the cistern.
30.
30 men, which is so weird.
Or three, depending on the translation.
Yes.
But
30. 30, right. Okay, number 16, you got wrong.
What?
According to Jeremiah chapter 4, what did the Lord ask the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to remove? You chose their kings.
Oh.
The answer was the foreskin of their hearts.
Oh, okay. All right.
Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Remove the foreskin of your hearts. O men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my wrath go forth like fire and burn with none to quench it because of the evil of your deeds. Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the last one again, which king burned Jeremiah's scroll?
Joachim.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
So you did poorly.
I did poorly.
You did poorly.
Did they give you a score?
You answered 11 correctly out of 16, really.
That's not that bad. That's
well, not that bad. What is the... Oh, you got a 64.7%.
See, that's so passing.
You basically got 65.
I passed.
You beat most players. The average is a 62.
Well, hell yeah. I'm above the curve. So
you're above the curve.
I'll take it.
Yep. Well, I got more right than you, but I did not catch my score.
Right.
And that makes me sad.
Yeah. You
for myself. Have
paid more attention.
I wish I had.
Yeah.
But that wraps up and concludes this fucking chapter.
Well, let me ask you, just since we're wrapping up.
I said chapter, but I meant book. Book,
right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is your general impression of Jeremiah versus what we've read of other books?
Okay. I have mixed feelings.
Sure.
On the one hand, sometimes it was like, ooh, what's going to happen next?
I think early on, that's how I felt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it was just as bad as the others in boringness.
Because it got really repetitive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it got confusing because I was like, wait, this is all out of order.
Yeah. That part of it, like that aspect of it really detracted from the entire experience of trying to read it because you couldn't keep track of what was happening at any given time.
Mm-mm.
And there were so many other authors involved in writing this book that it just like really fell apart.
Yes.
As we got further into the book.
It did.
And I feel like the book of Jeremiah really just kind of loses its thread and falls apart.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm not real impressed with the book. I haven't been real impressed with any of the books, but I mean, this one is definitely not, I would not rank this near my favorites.
No.
If I had to pick favorites.
Same.
So anyway, I think that's what we've got thus far for Jeremiah. We're going to be back probably later today, actually, with the contradictions episode.
Yes.
Which you affectionately call...
You're always wrong.
That's the one, yeah. And then we will be attempting to get out the first chapter of...
Lamentations.
To start the week on Monday morning when we get that put up, hopefully.
So. Yes.
That might put us back on track.
We might say maybe.
We might get this together and do good things. And I think so. Start moving correctly.
Yes.
All right. Thank you guys for joining us. And congratulations, if you don't join us for the Contradictions episode, on finishing Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see you shortly.
Yay. Bye.
Hey, wife, I guess that's the end.
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.